Now, if we go back to a moment and to the pictures that we talked about in the previous session, remember I used the notion that a dot, or if you take a circle, draw a small circle and make it all black, that represents a focal point. And if you then take a bunch of gray circles and put them together, like, you know, draw them close together like a bunch of grapes, that represents a less certain circle or cloud of possibilities. And how you can arrange these things represents an order to time. Remember that picture? These pictures are illustrating the degree of certainty that one has about who is in control of one's life. In ancient wisdom, I believe it was mentioned by several teachers, and notably by the spiritual teacher Krishnamurti, that the observer and the observed are one and the same. So when I was showing you these blurred pictures, which represent possibilities for you, what I was actually showing you at the same time was each grape in the blur represents a different egoic presence. So the grapes represent a field of egoic possibilities. Almost, in fact, they are possible universes of egoic beings, and that the focal point is a single focused egoic being, and then it can spread out into a less egoic control. In other words, what we're looking at as we look at the control of time, as we move through time, beginning with unfocused is when ego is just beginning to form, to focused, ego forms, to starting to unfocus, ego's relaxing, then it forms again, then it relaxes and forms again. That is moving through time, and that is developing the habitual egoic presence, the persona. We're seeing in that sequence the persona as it moves through time. Now, an actor has to learn how to alter exactly which grape of the possible egoic people he can become, and he can therefore, or she can therefore, move into different egoic personas. And so the actor depicts that by choosing a different egoic concern. The actor is trained so that the actor doesn't follow a particular egoic path through life. That's what makes an actor a good actor. We, on the other hand, who can't act, I mean, how many times do you see people who, no matter what you say to them, they just don't respond? You say, God, wasn't that the sexiest thing you ever saw? Well, I guess it was. Wasn't that a great meal? Well, I thought it was okay. Are you afraid that you're going to die tomorrow? Well, it could happen. I mean, whatever you say to them, they're always very calm about the whole thing, and they just keep walking there, blah, 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 in the same old way. Or you find people that are constantly excited. You say, geez, you know, that cracker tasted really bad. Oh, that cracker really tasted bad. It had salt and I like them. But the peanut butter was really good. Oh, yeah, I like the peanut butter. Peanut was really good. I like that. It was really awesome. You know, people get excited about anything at all. There are people who don't get excited about anything. There are people who get excited about everything. These are egoic beings. And the whole thing we're learning here, the thing that's important in terms of your learning time travel, is to understand that you can change that egoic persona, and by changing it, you can actually alter the way in which you are perceived in the world, and you can alter the way in which you feel about yourself in the world, and you can alter essentially the universe that is in your immediate surrounding. You can change your universe simply by changing this persona, learning to understand that you can change this. Now, I want to tell you something about me. I time travel every day. Now, it sounds crazy maybe, but I do it. And I simply do it by changing or surrendering control of my ego in holding on to or letting go of any fixed ideas that I have about myself. When I'm letting go of my ego, I'm defocusing and I'm going backward in time. When I gain control of my ego and focus, I'm going forward in time. Now, I had to do this. I had to learn to do this. I didn't know this is what I was doing. It's not only now, many years later, that I understand that what I was doing was a process that I needed to do because I suffered from a very severe speech impediment when I was very young. Between the ages of 7 to about even 16, I stammered so uncontrollably that I couldn't say a word without like that. If I was asked to read in my classroom in grade school, I would be scared stiff. I could not read because to read meant I had to say the word that was on the page. And even though I knew what the word was, there were certain words I knew I was going to stammer. And nevertheless, and just as I predicted, I did. So I had to learn a way to do what I'm telling you that you can do. I had to learn a way of letting go, of going through time, going back in time before that egoic constellation, which made me a stammerer, began to focus. Because after all, I wasn't born a stammerer. So I had to learn to let go. And the letting go process was something I was taught. I was only, you know, maybe 10 years old when I learned this from a speech therapist who was very advanced for her time. And she was teaching me what we now call meditation. And it was a process in which I would focus by, and this is a process you can do. If you have any impediment in your way right now, I want you to try this. Take a glass of water and a straw. Fill the water glass with water. Put the straw in the water. And now gently, focusing, blow bubbles. That's all. Very simple. Just blow bubbles. Let your breath relax. Blow more bubbles. Let your breath relax. Blow more bubbles. Inhale. Blow more bubbles. Inhale. Blow more bubbles. As slowly and as much control as you can. Focus on the bubble. Watch each bubble as you blow them. Focus as strongly as you can. And now, when you can, let go. Keep blowing. Do the process. Don't focus on anything. Just let your mind float. This simple process, as simple as it sounds, practiced on a daily basis, maybe 10, 15 minutes a day, maybe less, depending on when you want to do it, will calm you. It will set your mind into the floating space and will allow you to face your day as a new being, as somebody different, provided that you desire that change. What I'm trying to point out to you here is that what we do in our life is a series of punctuated points of egoic consciousness. Pop, 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 pop. And when these punctuated pops of consciousness occur, we experience them as time passing. Our bodies have learned to form punctuated forms of consciousness on their own without us necessarily thinking anything or doing anything about it. And so life has a certain rhythm to it, which is on its own, which has evolved over millions of years. And it was designed that way. People ask, well, why in all heaven's name should life be designed this way? I mean, why can't I live forever? You can't live forever because you really don't want to. You may think you want to right now, but actually, you really don't, because after a while, you're going to be sick of yourself, unless you learn to do a process like this, which allows you to change who and what you think you are. And you can't do that if you keep hanging on to, I want to be like I am now. I want to be rich and famous and handsome. And no, you don't. After a while, that's boring, boring, boring. Anything becomes boring repeated enough times. I don't care what it is. So, you know, the whole idea here is that you don't want to live forever. You really want to die, and you want to get into the next phase of whatever it's coming, because the great mystery is where the real fun is. So don't worry so much about, oh, I wish, you know, why can't I live forever? Why can't I be more healthy? Do what you can to be more healthy. Do what you can. But meanwhile, practice blowing bubbles in a glass and allow your mind to move into the space, the timeless space, going backward in time to before when you formed these egoic concerns, this egoic being that you think you are, into a new kind of being which can now form. Because remember, let me make this clear again. Each dot, each circle is an ego, a being, a way in which you see the world. Remember last time I told you that the cluster of grapes is what we call a blur. And if we have a lot of grapes in the cluster, things are very blurry, which means there's many possibilities. Then if we go to one particular grape of the cluster, that's an actuality. That's when a possibility becomes a probability, and that's the one. And then it spreads out into grapes again, different possibilities again, but not as many. So if we go from many possibilities, actuality, fewer possibilities, if we have those three sections, those three blurs, if you want to call them that, or those three units, that forms a time unit. And normally, that's how we experience time passing. In order to defocus, in order to let go of all this, you have to go back to the larger grape cluster, so to speak, to find a different grape. If you continue to find the grape in the fewer possibles coming up, then you're moving forward through time. Then you're on a habitual path. Then you're following your normal course. This is the course of your creation. This is the movie of your life, following along the same old way with fewer chances of change coming after moments of, that's who I am. Now maybe, that's who I am. That's who I am. If you just go along always picking the same grape each time, then of course you have what's called a well-developed ego or personality. And to some extent, that's necessary to do so that people recognize you. In the Tarot, we have the concept of the fool. What is the fool? The fool is just the biggest cluster of grapes you can think of. The fool is constantly changing personalities all the time. Bop, bop, dee, da, bop, bop, one after another. A clown, a woman, a man, a baby, walking on stilts, funny faces, whatever. In spiritual cultures, the clown or the fool is a very important part of the whole spiritual order of things, because the clown or the fool reminds people or gets them to time travel, to go back to a different way of thinking so that they can then go into the future with a new way that they couldn't have gotten. This is what tradition is really all about. When you just blindly follow tradition by listening to what people tell you is traditionally the case, that doesn't do anything for you. What you got to do when you really want to get to the spiritual meaning of tradition is you've got to go back in time to when these things were actually occurring. If you can't do it physically and getting into a machine, you can do it in your mind so that, for example, there are certain sacred holidays in almost every religion where people just practice it blindly. But in certain religions, they do rituals. And what are rituals for? Rituals are to bring you back in time to the time when that ritual was first done as a way of seeing into the truth of that spiritual moment. Whether it's the ritual of Easter and the time of the resurrection of Christ, or whether the ritual is Christmas, Christ Mass, and the time of the birth of Christ, or whether it's Passover or Pesach, or the time of Hanukkah, where the ritual is to remember the time when we had less or when we were suffering. Whatever the ritual is, we do that as a way of going back in time. That's what that's all about. And people that are spiritual leaders know that, and that's why we're so attracted to ritual. That's why we're so attracted to it, because we literally are going back in time and re-experiencing what that was all about. This is a healthy thing to do because it replenishes you for the next phase of your life. If you don't do this, then you get stuck in the same old, same old, same old. So as I said in the beginning of this session, I'm definitely not saying that, you know, this is going to violate your religious belief. Anything, it should help enhance it all, because it'll give more meaning to what you're doing when you go to church or temple or wherever you go to practice your spiritual practice.